Our loving God, we do thank you that you have spoken to us in your word. And Father, we confess that too easily we listen to it superficially or merely intellectually, but we pray that by your Spirit's help tonight we might think it through deeply and see how it impacts our heart and our lives. For the sake of your son, Jesus. Amen. Okay, Mark chapter 4, verses 1-25. It is on the screen as well. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing, but never perceiving, and ever hearing, but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown." He said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear." "Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them." Well, I do love getting together here on a Sunday night and singing with a big group, just kind of like lifting our voices together. There is something about being in a room full of people, raising our voices to sing about Jesus. But I think the joy of that experience, that moment that we've all just shared, within that, it can cause us to miss something. Because it feels like there's lots of us, we're all on the same page. But right now, there's actually more people down at Hillary's. Go into the pub, definitely more than who are seated here. The reality is there's more people not in church tonight. Now, why is that? How do you react to that? Because that is the reality. And it's an especially good question given everything we've seen in Mark's gospel so far, Jesus has come and he has announced the kingdom of God, and he's done these amazing things, these incredible signs and healings, and he's forgiven people their sins. But if Jesus is so amazing, how come there's more people down at Hillary's than here? Why is that? Do you find that confusing, disappointing, unsettling maybe? Maybe it just gives you pause to wonder if Jesus is really everything that he claims to be after all, if so many people don't give him a second thought. Well, Mark chapter 4 gives us an answer to that question. Why is there such a mixed response to Jesus? Because it's not just people now who react like that to Jesus. Even as he walked around, even as he healed people, people had this mixed response to him. And we saw that last week in Mark chapter 3. There were some people who thought he had a demon. His family thought that he was crazy. They're like, Jesus, what are you doing? And the Pharisees just kind of got together to plot how they might kill him. Even then, there was a wide range of responses. And so in Mark chapter 4, Jesus teaches a crowd why it is that that happens. And he does it in an unusual way. He uses parables. And I hope that by the end of tonight, we're going to see that those mixed responses to Jesus don't undermine the reality of who Jesus is. Those mixed responses to Jesus don't undermine the reality of who Jesus is. And in fact, it's the opposite. The fact that people aren't in church right now is a reflection of the reality of God's kingdom. So we're going to look at three things tonight. We're going to look at soils, and then stories, and then seeds. And the soils are going to teach us about the spiritual response required to God's kingdom. The stories are going to teach us about Jesus' subversive method, how he goes about communicating this kingdom. And then the seeds are going to teach us about this kingdom's surprising growth. That's where we're going. We're just going to click our way through that. But let's dig in. Firstly, the soils. To start with, we just want to think about the content of what Jesus says here in that first parable of the sower there. Jesus tells this story. He says, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. And it would have been a very familiar scene to the people who were there, just an everyday task, scattering seed, getting annoyed at the stinking birds coming in, you know, frustrated at a good crop, getting ruined by thorns, all in amongst it. And it would have been as normal as kind of saying a person went out to mow their lawn, and just immediately everyone knows the kind of the issues involved. And Jesus even explains what it is that he's talking about. As you read through Mark's gospel, we get the answer key, right? We get to flip to the back of the book and kind of find the solution to the puzzle. And it's all there. Verse 14, the farmer sows the word. The seed is the word, this message of the kingdom. And so Jesus himself is the farmer. He's the one spreading this word, teaching the people about the kingdom of God. And as he does that, there are different soils. And those soils are different people and the different ways that they respond. And so the soils point to this spiritual response, to his teaching. And Jesus says, that's why there's such a mixed reaction. Take, for example, the path. Some seed falls on the path, and we're told that Satan snatches it away. Some are so hardened to God that they won't even give Jesus a second thought. They won't even give him a hearing. And Jesus says that there is a spiritual realm at work here. But there's more. Some people accept Jesus' teaching, but then they face trouble or persecution because they follow Jesus. Or verse 18, still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word. That's good. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. See, in all of these cases, there is something spiritual going on. Kind of ask the question, what do you really believe? What conviction will you base your life on? See, there's different beliefs at work here. One of them is all around us. We see it all the time. The belief that this life is all there is, and when you die, and that's it. And so the most important thing is just to squeeze as much as you can out of life now. Travel the world, go to all the parties, retire early, do everything. But that is a conviction, a belief about the world. But that clashes with following Jesus, that conviction. Because Jesus says that God has an eternal kingdom for his people and calls us to follow him through trouble and persecution with that kingdom in view. And so, some people take hold of Jesus, but then if trouble comes or the worries of money press in, they're faced with a choice. See, what do you really believe? Do you believe in the eternal kingdom of God? Or do you believe that this life is all there is? And so if that's true, you can't accept trouble or persecution or hardship or worries. See, Jesus' teaching demands a spiritual response. And that's why there's such a varied response to Jesus. Because each heart is like a soil. And the word about the kingdom of God drops in there. And we each have to decide what kind of reception it will have. I once went to church with two brothers. Both of them weren't Christian, but they'd kind of come from a nominal Christian background, so they knew a bit about the Bible. One, the younger brother, came, and as he heard the Bible taught and heard about Jesus as the one who was the Saviour, the forgiver of sins, he heard it and he just immediately thought, yes, this is it. Straight away got on board with Jesus and just kind of went headlong into everything. He got baptised, he started serving, you never missed him at church. His brother, the older brother, he kept coming along, but only on and off, mostly because the younger brother dragged him along as well. But they heard the same message. They had the same information. They came from the same life background and upbringing, but very different responses. Now, what will happen to them from here? In some ways, we don't know yet. The younger brother might still get choked out by worries and the deceitfulness of wealth. And the older brother might have taken hold of Jesus in his own time. But there is a spiritual response required. And so it's right to ask, what about you? We read the parable. Jesus laid it out for us. Which soil will you be? What measure will you use? Will you have ears to hear? That's the soils. They teach us about the spiritual response that's needed. That's the content of this first parable. But we also need to get a little meta, kind of need to kind of rise above it a little bit. And we want to look not just at what Jesus says, but how he says it, because that's really important here. And so for this, we kind of need to do a mind wipe and forget that we've ever seen the answers. Forget that we know the solution. We need to use that Men in Black kind of brain wipe thingy and just flash our memories clean. Imagine that we're just there on the beach with Jesus, with everyone else, and we haven't heard the explanation. So get into that headspace, and then let's read again from verse 1. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. So this is a big crowd. We're there, we're in the crowd, right? You can imagine the people jostling, and Jesus gets in a boat just so he can get some distance to kind of project his voice. And when you're in front of a big group like that, kind of all across the shore's edge, you would think that Jesus would want to bring his best material, right? That's true here at North Coast. Each week we work hard on clarity. That's the thing that we want. The last couple of weeks, I think that Dan and Al have just done an incredible job of making God's word crystal clear for us. It's been a wonderful example of what we want for our preaching. And so you'd think that Jesus would do the same. You know, no one's a better preacher than Jesus. Dan and Al are good, you know, but not quite Jesus level yet, you'd say. And so surely Jesus is aiming to make sense. Well, let's have a look. Remember, we haven't heard the explanation. This is, you're hearing it for the first time. Here's what he says. Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Let's just pause there. What is he going on about, right? We've heard the explanation, but they haven't. He's just talking about farming. Right? And look at how he finishes there in verse 9. Then Jesus said, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. And that's it. The crowd leaves. And that's all the explanation they get. And I can tell you that's not what they teach you at preaching school. No one says, look, when it comes time for application, I make it mysterious. That's not what we're aiming for, right? But that's what Jesus does. He says, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. And it's only after that Jesus gives the meaning. Take a look there in verse 10. When he was alone, that is, after the crowds have gone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. And he told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. The insiders get an explanation, but the crowds don't. Now, why is that? Why is that? See, here's the other reason why there's a varied response to Jesus. Because it is God's plan. Because it is God's plan for it to be that way. See, between the parable that Jesus teaches and then the explanation, in between those two things, we get this Old Testament quote. And it's kind of like the meat in the sandwich. It is the crucial bit. That's true of a sandwich. You know, the pulled pork is the important bit in a slider. You can guarantee it. And so here he is. He speaks in parables so that, this Old Testament quote, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise they might turn and be forgiven. And you think, why is it that God doesn't want them to be forgiven? But to understand it, we need to kind of take ourselves back to what's happening in Isaiah. So this is a quote from Isaiah 6. And Isaiah's job was to go and speak to rebellious Israel in a way that meant that they wouldn't listen. And again, you think, why is God telling Isaiah to speak so that they won't listen? Well, it wasn't Isaiah's job to be kind of unintelligible, right? His job was to speak in a way that demands humility. To speak in a way that demands humility. To speak about their need for repentance. To speak about the reality of God's judgment. The very things that God's rebellious people didn't want to hear. The very things that they would shut their ears to. And so God tells Isaiah to speak, but he knows that Israel won't listen. And so they bring judgment on themselves. And Jesus picks up that same principle by teaching in parables so that those who are hardened towards God will think, what's he talking about? And walk away. See, because at one level, a parable makes sense. It's just everyday words and images. It's accessible to anyone. But at another level, it demands humility. because you need to ask for help to really get it. And most of all, it requires repentance, because a parable demands that we put ourselves in the story somewhere to think, which soil am I? And that is the hard bit, to think how we might have to change. See, a parable works a little bit like a political cartoon. Here's one, an old one, from when uranium mining was like a really hot issue in Australia. And see, the aim of a political cartoon is to make you think, to make you look at it and think, is that right? Should we be mining uranium? I am going to be so mad if a bomb drops and it has our uranium in it. Now, in the morning, I had to kind of give everyone a warning not to get distracted by this. You know, 75% engineers in the morning service. I don't know what the proportion is here. Might be higher. It is Perth, after all. It's just a joke. We're not doing a deep dive into uranium mining. It's an example of what it's like. It's kind of like trying to poke you a little bit to make you say, what do you think? Where do you stand on this? And Jesus is explaining how the kingdom can be hidden for some and yet revealed for others. And he uses this subversive method, this way of speaking in parables, to kind of force the question onto people. What do you think? Which soil will you be? What measure will you use? Will you have ears to hear? Because who is it that gets to hear the explanation? Who gets to hear the explanation? Well, actually, it's anyone. Anyone, you just ask, you stick around and listen. Verse 10, when he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. It's the 12 and anyone else who just went up to Jesus afterwards and said, what is that about? They get the answer key. All you need is the humility to ask and to listen. Which brings us to our last point. Because for all the varied responses to the gospel, what we see through all these stories is that the kingdom grows. The kingdom grows. And so Jesus tells us two more parables that we didn't read out. These parables about seeds, and they teach us about the surprising growth of God's kingdom. And we're going to read them now from verse 26. These two kind of mini parables. Verse 26, he also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up. The seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come. Again, he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like, or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. So you look around and think, why isn't God's kingdom happening more? And you think, why are there more people down at Hillary's? And Jesus says, well, the kingdom is like a seed. The kingdom is like a seed. And man, it'll surprise you. Right? A seed is tiny. It's the smallest thing. And you look at it and you think, I've got no clue how this works. And I've got zero idea how it goes from this tiny thing to this enormous tree. And how is that thing contained in that tiny seed? And yet Jesus says, that's how the kingdom works. You plant it and it grows. It is surprising growth, beyond our comprehension. Liana reminded me the other day about when we tried to grow cherry tomatoes one year, and we kind of planted a bunch kind of in a garden bed and kind of prepared the soil and, you know, watered them every day and looked after them. And none of them worked. Not a single cherry tomato out of all these, you know, a few plants grew up and looked a bit sad and then died. And so we were like, gave up. Stupid cherry tomatoes. Didn't like them anyway. And then a few weeks later, sure enough, randomly out in the compost, up springs this cherry tomato. I don't know how a seed got there, you know, maybe when we chucked them out. Anyway, this single cherry tomato plant grows up and just this bumper crop of cherry tomatoes. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. God's kingdom grows, and it is surprising growth. We're not in control, and we shouldn't get dismayed if we can't see it in all of its strength and glory and success now, because it is like a seed growing. And God is doing something incredible in bringing forth fruit even now from that tiny seed, from that message of the kingdom. God brings growth in small ways maybe now, but ultimately in incredible ways. So don't let the mixed response to Jesus worry you. God is doing something utterly surprising through the seed of the gospel. And he has in mind an end in which the kingdom spreads to cover every inch of the globe. Here's the application. Here's the thing, if you want kind of three words to take away from tonight, here's the application. Don't give up. Don't give up. As you look around, it may seem that the kingdom is small. It may seem that there is hard or rocky soil. And you might feel like giving up on the gospel message, but don't give up. See, contained within a seed is its future. Its future to be a tree is right there in it. And Jesus says, it's not just any tree. This seed of the gospel grows to be the largest of all garden plants, and with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. And as you read that parable, you think, oh, that's a cute little detail, the birdies flying in, right? But it's not just kind of extra detail there. See, in the Old Testament, God's kingdom is described like a tree that offers protection, and that the nations will come in and find peace and refuge with God's people. And so Jesus is talking about that. He's saying that people of every nation and tribe and language will come in and find refuge in Jesus. The kingdom has surprising growth. You can't always see what it will be, but the kingdom grows as you plant it and as you pray for God to be at work. And really, that shouldn't surprise us, that is how God works, because that's how we see God working in the life of Jesus. In the same way, when Jesus goes to the cross, he goes as a criminal to be executed all alone. And you look at it and you think, that's not much of a kingdom. That's not much of a king, this guy being executed. And it looks pathetic and weak and tiny, this body buried in the ground like a seed buried in the ground, and you think, what is going to come of that? But that is how God works. From that tiniest thing, God brings about his kingdom, his saving work, to establish this tree that the nations will come to for peace and refuge. So don't give up. Don't give up listening to Jesus, asking that question of yourself, which soil will I be? Don't give up listening and responding to Jesus. And don't give up planting seeds of the gospel. Don't give up praying for God to be at work as he brings about that surprising growth of his kingdom, even now, that has as its endpoint that ultimate eternal kingdom. Let's pray for God's help to not give up. Father God, your kingdom, even now, has started to grow into a multitude from every nation, tribe, people, and language. We can see it at work even here in this room. We can see it at work around our world. And so we can see your faithfulness at work to achieve your purposes. Father, even now, as people stand against your kingdom, give us courage to not give up. Give us faith to keep listening to you and to keep on sowing seeds of the gospel in the places that you send us out to. Father, we need your help for this, and so we pray that you would strengthen and empower us by your Spirit as we go out from here tonight. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.